you've heard of Leningrad, Stalingrad, but Londongrad? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. It's not clear how far Europe and the United States plan to escalate sanctions against Russia for its role in Ukraine, yet the prospect of more sanctions is already hitting London's financial center, known as the City. Big Russian businesses have very close ties to the city, and Russian businesses in turn a cash cow for London. Matthew Campbell is a reporter for Bloomberg News. His piece today ran under the headline, Londongrad Dealmakers Threatened by Sanctions. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me about this axis, this bond, this, I don't know, two-way street between Russia and London.
Well, there has emerged over the last decade or so sort of a symbiotic relationship between London and Moscow. Now, the reason for this is actually fairly simple. There is a lot of money in Russia, a lot of wealthy people, a lot of natural resources, and that money, as money does, needs lawyers, accountants, bankers, and also a court system in which property rights are defensible, and some of these so-called oligarchs feel like they can rely upon the law. That has not always been the case in Russia, and actually London has been very happy to provide those services, and the result is that bankers, lawyers, accountants, and the like here are actually quite dependent on business from Russian companies.
What kind of companies? I mean, some of it's going to be energy companies.
Yes, energy is significant for sure. The largest M&A transaction that has come through London from Russia was the reorganization of TNK-BP, which is an oil producer. That was all told about a $55 billion deal, largely handled out of London, even though most of the parties were Russian. So that's the sort of thing we're looking at.
Now, Matthew, you talked to a London-based attorney who suggested that maybe some Russian business folks are already moving their money perhaps out of there?
Certainly that's a possibility. Then the question becomes, where do they go? Russians have traditionally been a little bit allergic to the United States for a number of reasons, one of which is they don't want to get mixed up with the IRS. There are a few other centers, obviously, Hong Kong, Switzerland, but these are not places that have the infrastructure for dealing with Russian business that London does. There are huge numbers of Russian speakers here in professional services firms. So actually, rebuilding this effect of Londongrad, which it has sort of been jokingly referred to by some journalists, is not an easy thing. London is not really replaceable for these Russian companies, or certainly not quickly.
Reporter Matthew Campbell works for Bloomberg News in London. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.
There's news today. Walmart is getting into the used video game business. Done with a Sony PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 game, Walmart will give you store credit to buy not just new video games, but toothpaste, socks, bicycle pumps, anything for sale at a Walmart. The company says used video games is a $2 billion business. It's also recycling. The idea is for the used games to get resold as refurbs. GameStop, Best Buy already do this. Conservationists have long embraced taxes and/or rebates to encourage people to use less. But there may be another cost-effective tool out there, peer pressure. Sam Harnett reports on how a utility in drought-stricken California is getting people to conserve water with some neighborly competition.
Giri Seshagiri is proud of his new low-flow showerhead attachment.
See how little water it produces?
It uses way less water than the main showerhead.
Compared to this... probably, what, 10 times or so.
Seshagiri installed it after his local utility started sending him monthly water reports. They compare his water usage to neighbors with bar graphs and emoticons shaped like big water droplets.
Rather than a dull, boring text reminder, it gives you a little graphic picture in like a scorecard. You know, how did you do the last inning?
Do better than most neighbors each billing period, and your water droplet emoticon is happy and smiling. Do worse, and your water face is anxious and concerned.
In a way, it's like looking at a mirror of yourself.
Peter Yalis is the founder and CEO of Water Smart Software, the startup that generates the reports. He says households in Seshagiri's pilot program reduced water consumption by 5% last year. And the primary motivation here isn't conservation or monetary savings. It's the peer pressure.
8 out of 10 are motivated because they want to keep up with the Joneses.
Oh, you know, those Joneses. This kind of peer pressure is becoming a common conservation tool.
What you're talking about is a sort of passive social pressure.
That's MIT professor Alex Pentland. He studies more active forms of social pressure. He's run studies where participants get rewarded whenever their friends cut back on energy use. In some cases, he found this kind of buddy motivation system up to 16 times more efficient than individual incentives, like, say, taxes or rebates.
And the key thing is, you have to think about using the social fabric rather than the individual.
Pentland says we're already seeing peer pressure used in other areas, like personal health. And he says it could work in education or finance, but those are trickier.
There are barriers to each of those, because those are subjects people don't like to talk about much.
But when it comes to water usage, the public utilities already have the data. All companies have to do is show how you stack up against your neighbors. In Castro Valley, California, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And there's an interesting infographic circulating online showing that a quarter of America's gross domestic product, 25% of it, comes from just six American cities, New York, L.A., Chicago, D.C., Dallas, and Houston. It's drawn from IHS Global Insight data. Among other things, these data suggest that just the New York City economy is bigger than Spain's, bigger than South Korea's. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.